may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. I want you to pay close attention today because we got problems brewing, and of course we need to get to work on solving them. The heat doesn't cause the stress, but it adds to it, I believe. The stress the scripture has showed caused by a different thing, different things, and that's what I want to cover today, because the stress can really get you to doing things that you shouldn't do, and then you hate yourself for it later. But there's some things that Yahweh shows us, and I've been begging him for help myself, and because it's easy to get stressed out, especially with the jobs we have and what we're pressing for and trying to overcome and things like this. But the heat is not really the main thing that causes it, but it certainly makes you uncomfortable, and of course that adds to what we've already got there. Which one thing, we may have even some parasites that you, and there is ways of getting rid of those things. But the heat, I know we get the local news, which gives you the temperature 30 to 35 feet in the air. That's if you went by the Coliseum, I'm told this week, it gives you an official temperature that's more accurate than they give on the local news stations. But the official temperature, I was told, is put in front of the Coliseum on South 11th. So if you drive by there, you might look at it as in big red flashing lights, but it was 110 the day they called me at 5 o'clock. But now that's not the earth temperature, of course, where you live. You know, we don't live up there 35 feet in the air. And the earth temperature, we have several different kinds of thermometers now, and we have a laser thermometer that actually gives you the earth temperature. And this was the 4th of August, and it was 163.7. That's where you live on earth, in the sun. 163.7. I don't think a parasite could survive in that. I think if you threw a tapeworm there, it would do to him what they tell you to do in the health food books. You know, really cook these to where they're crisp before you eat them. That didn't make much sense to me then either. The next day at 1 p.m., they had a temperature of 158.9, and then at 5 p.m. it was 158.4. That was at 4:18 p.m. But that's your temperatures that we're living with that are getting rid of the parasites in the earth and on the ground. The drought, if you noticed, it's stationed right over Texas, the high is. And they're saying that this drought is it's like it's forced to be here. What is taking place on Earth with the heat and the dryness now is making it impossible for the enzymes in the firmament to do their job. You can get all this on the internet if you want to make a long study of it. But I've told you all this before. We're actually screwing up our firmament to where it can't do its job. And of course, we're experiencing a lot of this. This wasn't in the Oklahoma drought that drove the people out of Oklahoma and Texas and back when I was born. This is a new thing, and they know it. And the ones that are truly studying this and finding out, they have articles here. It'd take too long to read them. But it shows that the firmament is not able to do its job over Texas at this time. And whether or not this will change, they don't know. Now, some of them are saying it may change late in the fall. Others are saying it could be winter time before we see a change in what is taking place here. I think if Abilene would repent, I think if all the religions in Abilene would repent now and start calling out to Yahweh, I think they would see a change. Praise Yahweh. But things are going to change one way or another. But right now, it's getting worse. We could make it better if Abilene would get on its knees and repent of breaking Yahweh's laws and start trying to overcome. Texas cattle rancher Charles Cotman is down to 6 calves and their mothers after selling 80 animals in recent months. The drought that has baked pastures, dried ponds, has ranchers in Texas and Oklahoma, the nation's top 2 beef producers, culling their herds. Well, you see this all over now, and of course the auctions are full of cattle, they say, and the ranchers say they have to stand in line for hours, some till midnight of a night, to get their cattle in the auction. But this will hurt us in the future, of course. Big Springs, not too far down the road, Big Springs, Texas, is recycling urine in the face of massive drought. Now, they're talking about this urine they've been dumping in the river. I think it's the Colorado River. They've been treating it with fluoride. And they say this only kills a portion of the parasites that's in the sewage, but now they're going to try an ultraviolet ray to try to kill some more of it. They say it won't kill it all, but they're going to treat it with something else. But they are getting ready to start using it. And one guy says he thinks it's going to be a little bit hard to drink, but who knows what people will turn to when going gets rough. And it is getting rough. Harsh drought in South hitting far and wide, supporters say, and it gives a bleak picture of the future. Also, along with this bleak picture of the future, what Abilene needs to repent of is super gonorrhea. Scientists discover antibiotic resistance. This is taking place in the turkey, too. The turkey, the one newsman said that what makes this so bad, what the great Kohan Shaul was reading earlier, what makes this so bad right now is the fact that this salmonella that they're finding is resistant to almost all the antibiotics that we have right now. Gonorrhea, a fear now, is whether the strain has become widespread. While it is still too early to assess, if this new strain has become widespread, the history of newly emergent resistance in the bacterium suggests that it may spread rapidly unless new drugs and effective treatment programs are developed soon. The salmonella is the same thing that we're seeing in the food supply now, in the ground turkey, that it's the same thing that we're seeing in the STDs. So put those two together and you'll see today's world and what is developing. Each one of those things now can bring your body down to where your common sense or your lack of self-control. I don't know what the calls I've had this week and of people saying I lost it. I laughed about it because I said I lost it several times too. But I'm going to tell you something that will help us and keep us from losing it, hopefully, if we put it to work sincerely. One thing is taking your honey and butter, which my excuse was I was too busy because the calls was coming in so rapidly I couldn't take care of them, so I had no time to go get my honey and butter and take it. But we're going to figure out a way to where I can slap it in my mouth between words and suck on it while I'm answering the phone. Well, of course, the drought is detrimental to the crops, which makes the food go up, if you can imagine that. And tainted food sickens 48 million in U.S. each year. Well, that is, look at the picture of this thermometer. That one only went up to 130, I think. It shows 120, but they said there's some numbers on the other side that went up higher. But you can see the next thing would be outside. It would burst. But if you have one you can lay outside on the ground, you can see what we're talking about here, about it, the temperatures being higher than what you actually see here. Let me see. I've got, don't want to get this mixed up here because I've got to read it later. The ground turkey, you got that. The schools are having trouble because the children are having trouble learning. And we're seeing this more and more. They can no longer, they're failing to meet the federal AYP standards for fourth year. This is the fourth year in a row. The Abilene Independent School District. You remember they got the sign saying, proud to be a AISD. They're not so proud anymore. They're coming down a little. They need to come down a lot and humble themselves. One thing you don't want to do is run and hide when you when you make one of these mistakes, and I don't want Abilene to run and hide, but some things are taking place that they need to consider. It's not the grades, you know. I remember math being very easy when I was taking it, but in math and reading is where they're having their problems. It's the minds of the students that's becoming sickened. It's not the heat either that's causing it, but it's a lot of other things that are breaking the scriptures, breaking the laws in the scriptures that is becoming bringing the children's minds to where they're having trouble thinking. And if they would start thinking in that direction, they would have something else there to repent of. Food stamps. There's over 44.5 million people now receiving food stamps in the United States. 44.5 million. And it's getting worse, they say. Jobless, the white-collar workers, this is not in the slummed areas, the jobless white-collar workers struggle in California. In California, more than 2 million people are out of work. That's the highest number of any state. A lot of them have turned to unemployment clubs to help them find work. Everyone in the group have a college degree, but they can't find work. Well, here's another fall. Babylon has fallen, has fallen. And remember that because it's going to get worse. Don't get me wrong now. The scripture shows that the United States is going to remain strong military-wise right up to the very end. Right up to the very end when nuclear war hits. More about food stamps, more on food stamps. Postal Service warns of default, bleeds money. The U.S. Postal Service posted a net loss of $3.1 billion in its third quarter and warned again it would default on payments to the federal government if Congress did not step in now to do something about it. And they say their hands are tied. President Barack Obama is trying, but his hands are somewhat tied with the system. As stocks dive, more problems are arising. So you can see here, and I say again, if we would repent and turn to Yahweh, these problems could be solved. A lot of my problems could be solved if you would repent now. It's a big job fighting what we have ahead of us. And of course, I'm one of the leaders of the house of Yahweh, so I'm fighting big time. But overcome. I want you to turn with me to Revelations, and the fact that he tells you this shows that we can, and we've got to face each problem as we come to it, and we've got to overcome it, and we can overcome it, no matter what it is. I don't care what it is, you can overcome it if you follow the Scriptures. Now, if you don't take time to follow the Scriptures, if you don't take time to eat your honey and butter, that's one thing. That won't do it alone, but it certainly adds to the problem if you don't do it. And take your salt. That's another thing, that if you deplete yourself with salt. But there are some other things that Yahweh shows us that he showed me yesterday. And I said, I think everyone needs this. I called the elders last week because I was having trouble. Big time, and I called some that was studying psychology and to see if they had anything that would tell me what would cause this problem. The next day, a news article came out on it that was saying that I guess it's a widespread thing, and I'm not the only one that's having trouble with it, but I intend to overcome it. I don't intend to sit here and be tormented by things that I don't want to do and hate myself for doing it. It's almost like you're on you're two different people, and you're sitting on a sideline over here, and you're watching yourself over here do something really, really stupid, you know. And you're saying to yourself, you shouldn't be doing that. You're just talking to yourself. You shouldn't be. Why did you say those things? Now, that's almost like it is. And when I was explaining this to the elders, I said, you know, and people get out of control big time. They get to where their bodies, their minds blink on them, as the news article showed that I think they're going to show it next week, but I got a transcript of it yesterday. But the woman says, this is a woman doctor that also a psychiatrist that was studying this problem that is in the schools and young people and old alike, and she said, you get to the point to where your brain snaps and you lose control. And she said, at this point is where my children get very quiet. And of course, I guess it's a scary feeling for anyone that's around a person who does this, who's supposed to be the leader, and they have, and all of a sudden they snap and do something they shouldn't. But here in Revelations 21 and verse 7, he says, he who overcomes. Well, that's me. I'm going to overcome. In fact, I have it set in my mind to do so. And by the time I reach 77, I'm going to have this totally overcome. That's in my mind. Have you got a date set, any of you? Maybe you should set a date and start pushing towards it. And we can do it by doing the things that Yahweh shows that we should do. And there's many things that he shows that I didn't realize so much as I do today that I studied late last night on. But he who overcomes will inherit all things, and I will be his father, and he will be my son. he who overcomes, which means it's possible. See, this shows you it's possible to do so. We are the house of Yahweh, and we can overcome all evil. And that's a fact. In chapter 3, turn back to Revelations chapter 3, and look at, start with verse 21 here. He says, "To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and am set down with my Father on his throne." In verse 19, look back there. He says, "As many as I love, I prove and chasten." That word chasten is not really, it's a bad word to use in translating the Hebrew word from which the Greek word supposedly was translated. But the word chasten there actually means to teach and guide and inspire. It doesn't mean to whip with a stick or shove around with your hands or be abusive. Yeshua was never that way with his apostles. He scolded them, yes. He taught them. He taught them day and night. In fact, he taught thousands who came to him. And he showed us, if you would just study him, I'm not going to bring it out, it'd take too much time today, but if you'd study his actions and see what he went through, and then people leaving him, you know what these people that left him, they couldn't face their sins, and they ran from them. They ran and hid. Instead of saying, "I'm going to overcome this," they ran and wouldn't show their face again. This was what Cain did. He hid from Yahweh, and Yahweh went hunting him and told him what to do. And instead of him doing it, then he went the other way and cut himself off from the face of Yahweh. Remember? Well, many people do that today. They do things in the house, especially with the ones they love the most. And they do things to hurt. But when you scream at an elder it's almost like you're screaming at Yahweh. It is like screaming at Yahweh. And when you find yourself doing this, or find yourself even disagreeing with a priest, you're in trouble. And this is things that's got to be overcome. It can be overcome because the priests are here to help, and you should go to them. You should go to them and use them. That's what they're here for. But in verse 19, he says, "As many as I love, I prove, and I also guide and inspire and lead and put zeal." And he says, "Be zealous then, therefore, and repent." That's my job. When I hurt you, that's my job to repent. It's your job to forgive me. It's your job to repent, and my job to quickly forgive you when you do. And we'll see that also. And I can forgive sins. The Son of Man can forgive sins. The priest, they have that authority. You can forgive trespasses when somebody trespasses against you. Anyone can. You can't forgive sins of the people unless you're a priest or a priestess. Now, verse 20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice," and this word "hears" means takes heed to it, "I will help them." If you will just take heed to my voice, I'll help you through teaching. Hears my voice, or takes heed to my voice, and opens the door. Opens the door to your mind, of course. Opens the door and let the teaching come in, then you can receive help. I will come to him, and I will eat with him, and he with me. I'll come to him and teach him, eat. When are you supposed to go to the house of Yahweh and eat? Sabbath. Right. Come and eat in my presence. And then he says, I will help you. That's what he's talking about right here. To him who overcomes by doing what I tell him to do. Look at chapter 2 here also and start with verse 7. Chapter 2 and verse 7. He who has an ear or has understanding, let him take heed to what the Spirit says. Now, he's talking of the law here. If you remember Yochanan 6:63, he's speaking of the laws that Yahshua points out to him. And there's some laws that's given that you might not know that'll help you with stress. And show us what to do if we will do it. And of course we can. Spirit says to the called out ones. Notice the called out ones of the house of Yahweh. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life. So he's saying, if you will repent and overcome, then I will teach you. The same thing he was saying over here. I will teach you what to do, inspire you to find it in the Holy Scriptures, whatever, which is in the midst of the garden of Yahweh, the midst of salvation of Yahweh. Verse 9, I know your works, and I know your tribulation, what you're going through. And all of you that told me you was having trouble, you lost it, you said a harsh word, you did a bad thing. I do see some of you sitting here, so I'm glad you didn't run and hide. Many people have, and they didn't come back. But I know your works, he says, and your tribulation. I'm well aware of what I'm putting on you. And he's exactly, that is what he's doing. I've come to try you. Now, you failed, but you get up and you try again. You don't lay there. But as he said, one person, a righteous man, stumbles 7 times, but he doesn't lay there dead. And poverty, I know your poverty, but you are rich, and I know how you are slandered by those who say they are Yadim. This word Yadim, if you'd get it in your mind what that word means, it will open a multitude of doors to you in your studies in the Holy Scriptures. And what it means is just what I've been explaining here. We're in 2 and verse 9. This word Yadim, it means those who practice the 613 laws of Yahweh. Now they say they are Yadim, which means they are those who lift up holy hands, which means those who practice 613 laws of Yahweh. You see this right here? You see it? You see what's around my hand? 613 laws of Yahweh. Lift up holy hands. Don't do it as a fraud. If you run and hide from these problems instead of going to the priest with them, you're a fraud. You're a hypocrite. You don't intend to overcome. If you want to overcome, face your problems and overcome them and say it's never going to occur again. And then get ready for it, because Satan's going to try to make you a liar. Verse 9, the Yadim, and are not, they're not, they don't practice the 613 laws of Yahweh, but are of the synagogue of Satan, as 1 Yochanan 3, 7 and 8 says. If you don't practice righteousness is what? Being perfect? No, it's overcoming. It's overcoming your faults. If you hold a grudge, that's the biggest fault there is. If you fail to forgive, Yahweh won't even look at you. You've got to forgive if you want Yahweh to forgive you. So whatever, if they spit in your face, what of it? Praise Yahweh for it. And the fact that you didn't get angry, and you said, Yahweh, forgive him. He doesn't know what he's doing. If they're stoning you, we haven't faced that yet, but we might. Say the same prayer. That's the example. Now, you can get yourself to that point. By the time I'm 77 years old, I'm going to be to that point right there. Praise Yahweh. Now, he says, fear none of those things which you will suffer, meaning I'm going to put these things on you now. So it's up to you to pass the test whether or not you stand or fall. I'm going to put it on you, and if you take revenge, if you're not forgiving, if you fail to ask for repentance, if you fail to say, I'm sorry, you know, all of these things are told to you to do, to straighten the life out, to straighten your life out with your brothers and sisters. Behold, the adversary will cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried. And you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. Now, all of these things are being promised to us today if we will just take heed and do them. Look at verse 11 also. He who has understanding, he who understands my words or takes heed to my words, let him take heed what the Spirit says to the called out ones of the house of Yahweh. He who overcomes will not be hurt by the second death. In Yochanan 16 I have here, and I think that is wrong, but let's turn there anyway. Yochanan 16, maybe not, maybe it's supposed to be there. Yochanan 16 and verse 33 is what I have written down. I just don't remember. I have spoken these things to you so that in me you might have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of great courage. I have overcome the world. So he, Yahshua, is saying, I'm going to help you. Be of great courage, and I will help you to overcome. I've got 15 minutes, so I'm going to have to rush. Look now to Matithya. Now, this is where you stand if you have someone who has lost his head or her head, and children are doing this a great deal now. So be very patient. Be very patient with your children. They probably got a couple of strikes against them already, and with the right training and teaching. This is one of the things that we really need to remember, and it hurts me deeply when I do something, especially in front of the children. It hurts me worse when I see somebody else do it, but equally, you know, you're teaching your children. And what we need to be teaching our children is what we want to see out of our children. And I don't think you want them to be screaming and hollering at you. I don't think that's what we desire out of our children. And I've seen the people that I actually hold up as being like Sarah and Abraham. I have seen the control they have over their own selves and how they can teach their children. And no matter what their children are doing, it seems like they never lose control. They always just keep quietly teaching, and pretty soon the child turns and starts to doing what they want him to do, or her. But be patient, because the children are not in a perfect state of mind right now. And they will become that with time and with effort and the strength of Yahweh, of course. With Yahweh, all things are possible. But look at Matithya now 6 and notice verse 12. He says, forgive us our debts. Now, this is a prayer, of course, when he's teaching his disciples how to pray. And this is Matithya 6:12. And he says, forgive us our debts that word debt there, it's not like we owe Yahweh money, which we do if we've stolen our tithe, but that's not what it means. It means labor. It actually means forgive us for not performing our jobs. It's due moral faults, but also it says something owed, but a due moral a fault, a debt. It says of sin as a debt because it demands expiation and thus payment by way of punishment. And here's the one I was hunting, that the debtor, you see the word debtor, as we forgive our debtors. One, the debtor is not someone who owed you something, but one guilty of neglect or violation of duty. One guilty of neglect or violation of duty. And of course we get angry. This is something that makes us angry when someone lets down on their duty because it causes other people trouble. It sets back the work. It costs money. But notice he's talking about forgiveness here, quickly forgiving. Forgive us our debts as we. Now if we don't forgive the person for this, then we hold bitterness against them, and Yahweh, we cut ourselves off from his face as Cain did from Yahweh. He got angry and cut himself off, or got embarrassed about his sins and failed to show up for his meeting, his appointment with Yahweh. And do not allow us to be led into temptation. Don't allow us to be led into temptation. That is, inspire us to go the other way. But deliver us. Deliver us from that evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power. And Yeshua said, with Yahweh, all things are possible. And the glory forever. Hallelujah, Yahweh. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Meaning if you don't, then he's not going to forgive you, and you will die in your sins, and you will suffer the second death. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you. Hold your place right there and turn to Leviticus 19:18. Leviticus 19:18. Both sides are tested when something bad takes place. Leviticus 19:18. Now this is the law that Yeshua is speaking of here in Matthew 6, where he says, "Do not seek revenge nor bear a grudge against one of your own people, but you shall love your brother or sister as yourself. I am Yahweh, and you must keep my statutes." You must, and this is what Yeshua was saying here, to forgive and do it quickly. Don't let it linger. Also ask forgiveness quickly. Don't let that linger. But if you do not forgive, it will not be forgiven you. If you look to Mark the second chapter, in verse 10, and know this, Yeshua is our high priest, and look what he says here, "But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." Know this for sure. His priest. That's one of the things he gives his priest authority to do. That's how they restore you to Yahweh when you confess, of course, your sin. But a sin not confessed is a sin not forgiven. So be careful and confess your sins one to another. of the sons of men or the priestess. The priestess have the same power that's given to them that the men do. Verse 17, chapter 17, and verse 3, he says, so be on your guard. Luke, this is Luke 17. Now, you might have missed those first three words. So be on your guard. And when you let your guards down, there's where you're going to have the trouble. The thing to do, and you're going to have to practice this, I'm going to practice it, is taking care of this to where you won't get stressed out in the first place. And there's a way shown in the scriptures. Now, the psychiatrists show many different ways, but I notice they all come back to doing what were shown in the scriptures, or the most of them do. Some of them say get out and go jogging. That's pretty stupid, but especially at 168 degrees. try that and you might wind up in bed sick. 17 and verse 3. Now be on your guard. If your brother trespasses against you, rebuke him. Yes, rebuke him. But if he repents, forgive him. It's that simple. And you better do it. It's hard to do, but you can do it and get in a habit of it, and it becomes less hard, less difficult. Verse 4, and if he trespasses against you seven times in one day. Now, if you're stressed out or the man is stressed out seven times in one day, it might get a little bit irritable after a while. But you can still do it, and there he shows you. And in one place, I'm running out of time, and I want to get to something else here, but in one place, let's turn over to Matthew 24. In one place, he told his disciples 70 times 7. So that's like all day long, and I'm thinking from reading the scriptures that his disciples were wearing him down, and he would just disappear at times. And he stayed gone so long one time that his disciples decided to go back to their old trade. Then he appeared to them. He came to find them and found them doing, went back to their old job and said, told them, if you love me, you need to get to work in Yahweh's work. But here in Matthew now, 24, and he says this here, he says in verse 14, the message is going to be preached in all the world. Well, you know, that's our job. And of course, with us, you know, every person is part of our difficulty. Every person will be part of our heritage, you know, if we straighten that person out and getting him or her to doing the laws of Yahweh. Because if they become part of the kingdom, they will work with us throughout all eternity as our helpers. We will be helping one another. If we don't get them to where they can control their mind, their thoughts, and their emotions. Their emotions is what gets you in trouble. When the powers of your body come down, your body becomes weak, and of course something occurs, and as the psychiatrists say, the brain snaps. It snaps, and you do things that you regret. You don't know why you did them. You know, it's not part of your character, but you did them. And of course, Yeshua says you can overcome this. And then he says in verse 13, he who endures until the end, the same will be saved. He who endures in the house of Yahweh. Cain didn't endure. He ran and hid and didn't try to overcome. Yahweh said, if you do righteousness, you will be acceptable for the kingdom. And of course, the people that Yahweh is drawing in, and we haven't tackled the biggest portion of our jobs, and that is facing the 2 billion people that are to come. But everybody who comes here is a problem. They bring their problems with them. Those problems are what we have to solve. And in working with the people, of course there's problems and there's stress. And a person can get so stressed out that, as the psychiatrists say, the brain snaps. And that's when some other person, and I'm not telling you, you got another spirit in you that other than mankind. I'm just telling you that there's something in your mind that goes wrong and you lose control. And of course, if somebody shook you, you'd probably get over it sooner. Or if they said, I love you, calm down, that would probably get you over it. I'm thinking of this man that was on the news just recently that shot all of these people. He was on one side of the river and he was shooting all these people on the other side of the river. Now, the police knew this man. And he was one of their workers that worked with them. And one of his fellow workers, what caused him to stop was the man was hollering his name. He didn't try to kill him. He was hollering his name, which meant, you know, that he was friends with him. And he was hollering his name and said, quit, stop what you're doing. And the man stopped. It woke him up. It brought him back to reality. Now, that is a great example of what the psychiatrists say goes on and went on in that person's mind. He killed a number of people. Is he more guilty than the judge that's going to sentence him? No. This makes me think, and this should be your judgment, of the woman that was taken in adultery and brought to Yahshua and trying to trap him, knowing that if he said stone her, he would have been guilty of murder because he didn't have that authority. You know, if you study Yahweh's laws, you would know it takes a special priest to offer a sacrifice. It takes a special priest to announce a death penalty. And that priest had to be without sin. And Yahshua knew that none of those priests were without sin. The ones, the scribes and the Pharisees that brought that to him, brought the woman to him, they had no authority. Neither did he at that time to pronounce a death penalty. He does now, and he shows it in Revelations, but he didn't have it that time. And he wouldn't, because he knew that that woman had not been taught. She was a product of the sickness of the world, the same as all of you today. You're a product of the sickness of this world. And that's the reason you should be extremely careful with your children, because they are too. And you don't know what that child is suffering inside of them. It might be better if you taught the child personally, unselfishly, quietly by yourself, until you get him ready to face others and face society especially. But Yahshua here is talking about enduring until the end. And then I want you to keep that in mind, what he said right there. He who endures unto the end. The same is going to be that word saved there. It actually means given authority. Same thing that Genesis 1:26 says. But turn over to Isaiah 58. Isaiah 58, where it's talking about people who lose control. And I never saw this till yesterday. If you see in verse 4, if you got it, Isaiah 58, found on page 566. If you look at verse 4, you see strife and debate, striking with the fist of wickedness. If I ever did that, I'd cut my hand off. I just wouldn't do it. It's not my character to do something like that. It's my character right now is to love and guide and teach and bring joy to people's lives, prepare for the future coming of the saints of Yahweh. That the 2 billion people intrigues me, and I know I'm not ready, but I'm getting ready. And Yahweh knew we weren't ready. He knew we weren't ready, or he would have already had them here for us to train. If you just think of the little things that takes place between you and your husband, you and your children, if you have children, you and the people that you don't know so well, and the grudges or hatred that builds quickly when somebody says something to you that catches you off guard. The day that the great Yehuda Hawkins told me that the man spit in his face, you know, if that had occurred without future thought, I would have probably, you know, got angry. But the way it was, I said, David, what a blessing this was to you. And you should be praising Yahweh that this took place. Well, David was snorting, so he wasn't. You could tell he wasn't praising Yahweh. But I said, I would that that would occur to me. And the very next day, I think, was the Sabbath, and the same man spit in my face. Well, I was prepared for it, and I praised Yahweh and asked Yahweh to forgive him. And I was so proud of myself. Well, I shouldn't have been. But I had time to think about it. David didn't. But now I'm going to start thinking in advance, and I'm going to start considering what might take place. Now, this is what I have in my mind of doing, and I'm going to try never to get caught off guard on anything. Be prepared and have some words for it, you know, and praise to Yahweh when it does take place. But notice in verse 4, the strife and debate and the fist of wickedness. And that's actually not talking about hitting a person with your fist. The Hebrew words there shows striking him with duties, debts that he owes, like Yeshua gave in the parable about forgiving people their debts, forgiving them their where they were slothful in obligation and so forth, but to put more burdens on them, like throwing them in jail until they get it paid. Of course, Yeshua, he brought that out in his sermon on this very same thing right here. Look on down to verse 7. He says, is it not to share your bread? Well, keep this in mind that that's what we're trying to do. And of course, your third tithe is for that purpose, for sharing your bread. And Yahweh says that's your obligation. You don't have to go overboard. You won't be judged as a better person for going overboard, but you will be judged righteous for doing it, of course. But to share your bread, and this is what we should have in our mind, and that's what's in my mind. And for years, I have worked to get ready to take people out of the world, totally out of the world, and be able to feed them with Yahweh's healthy food that will put life back in their brains instead of the deadness that they're having to suffer with right now. To share your bread, that is the teaching of Yahweh, and Yahweh's word with the hungry, with those who actually want it, that you bring into the house of Yahweh the poor who are cast out. When you see the naked, this is not talking about people, the hobos on the street with a sign in their hand that says, I'd work for food, who they truck down here from Dallas, Fort Worth, and Arlington, and set them up and give them a percentage of what they make and pay their hotel room and feed them, and give them a percentage of what is brought in. That's hypocrisy there to begin with. It's not talking actually about people who are naked. Have you seen any naked people that can't get a pair of pants to put on? Only when they want to be that way. Women too. Have you seen? Yeah, you see plenty of that. especially if you turn a television on or even walk down the street or go to church, and you'll see plenty of that. It's not talking about that. It's talking about scriptural nakedness where they don't know the law of Yahweh, and to feed them, to cover them with the word, with Yahweh's knowledge, and not to hide yourself from your own flesh. You see those last three words? and that becomes a whole sermon there of hiding from your faults. And that's what it means, hiding yourself from your own faults, running, hiding, not too ashamed to show your face after your mind snaps, as it says there. But and Yahweh shows you how. Honey and butter, that's one of the things. Don't forget it. Make a way to get it every day, the first thing every day. And prayer. Get in touch with Yahweh the first thing every morning. For 4 or 5 days this week, I said, you know, I would think at 3 o'clock in the afternoon when I was having all the trouble, or 4 o'clock, I forgot to pray. Forgot to pray this morning. The calls start coming in about 5:30, and I blame that. I'm not going to blame the calls anymore. It's me that's got to overcome, not the telephone. The telephone's not going to make it into the kingdom, by the way. We're going to have subconscious minds as we're going to make it into the kingdom with. And of course, keeping your appointments with Yahweh. All of this over in verse 13 through 14 goes with this back over here of not denying your own faults, not hide yourself from your own faults, your own weakness, but to recognize them, repent, ask for forgiveness, and then overcome them. Overcome every one of them, no matter how small it is. And I've set August the 28th for that deadline for me. And if you'll work hard enough with me, I think you'll be able to overcome too. And then we'll say to Yahweh, Yahweh, we're ready, and we're really ready this time. May Yahweh bless you, and I'll turn the services over to the next speaker. I love you.